This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Kim Grenolds of Dogman.com with Chris Fetter, Scott Eklund, down in Berkeley, California, where Washington defeated Cal 28-21 with a tale of two halves, both for the offense and defense. Announced attendance was a generous 34,601. Capacity down here, I believe, is 63,000, so that means it was over half full. It was not over half full, trust me on that. And I think some people kind of got surprised down here. The weather's been fairly mild down here, but the wind kicked up and down on the field. The players weren't cold, but there was a lot of people underdressed down on the sideline. I was not one of them. So the wind on the missed field goal that Peyton Henry had, that one was definitely into the wind. I don't know if I want to blame any of that on the wind, but there was some definite wind down there on the field today that I don't know that you could tell on TV. But bowl eligible, sixth win of the year. So anytime you get a road win, and we kept on saying funny stuff happens at Cal, and you just kept on getting the feeling funny stuff was going to happen again. But just Scott, your overall impressions that, I mean, this is a big win for the program going, getting a bowl game eligible. They haven't been in 3 years.
Yeah, absolutely. It's huge. And now you go into the bye week and you can get a little healthy, and then you come out with four tough games to end the season with Oregon State. I should say three tough games. Oregon State at home, not a gimme. Oregon on the road, definitely not a gimme. Colorado, maybe you should win that game, but you know how things go. And then Washington State on the road. So Washington needed to get this win. They got it out of the way. I think now they can play a little looser. Maybe they tightened up a little bit. I don't know. Hopefully they can get a little bit healthier. But good gutty win from this team. They played really well in the first half defensively. And then in the second half, they weren't able to adjust to what Cal was doing. So you want to see that get cleaned up a little bit, but overall really good win, I think.
Chris, hey, before we get your impressions real quick, Dave Hoffman was down here on the sidelines. Travis Feeney was the honorary captain, the traveling captain. And he said he's up to 254 pounds. He's still in school, getting his MBA in business and marketing. Good for Travis. He said when he showed up at UW, he was only 190 pounds, but Marshawn Lynch was down here. And evidently he had something to say on TV that I didn't get to see.
Oh yeah. No, it was, that was the highlight of the game. Yeah. He dropped an F-bomb. I think he dropped a SHIT bomb. And it was fantastic. I mean, it was prime Marshawn. And then obviously people saw him in the cart, but they wouldn't let him drive it this time. He was in the back. So he got to kind of paraded around, which was kind of funny.
He was still trying to roll that thing from being on the back, Marshawn being Marshawn. So he's having a lot of fun. And the reason he was here, by the way, was he was inducted into the Cal Hall of Fame along with Justin Forsett. So many of you remember Justin Forsett, not only with Cal, but with the Seattle Seahawks for a while. But, you know, Chris, just, you know, give me, before we talk about the offense and the defense in that first half, just, you know, getting bowl eligible, how important is this for this team?
Well, it's fantastic. I mean, it's so important because for a first-year staff, Kalen DeBoer, I would think that would have been the very, very first thing that they would have put on their to-do list. Like, if you're talking about overall goals, team goals, this I would have thought would have been the very, very first one. You get bowl eligible, and then you can go from there. And, you know, whether you're talking about trying to win the conference, whether you're trying to talk about going into the playoff, or going into a New Year's Six Bowl, whatever it is, you know, that has to start with you getting to six wins first. And for them to do that and to do it this way on the road in a situation where they had given up some turnovers – and some sudden change plays against UCLA and Arizona State that ultimately kind of spelled the difference in the game. For them to play clean in terms of no turnovers against a team that was kind of feasting on turnovers with Cal and needed turnovers in order to kind of help their offense get jump started, I thought that was massive. Offensively, they still, you know, they still did a hell of a lot on offense, almost went for 500. Penix almost went for 400. I think he went for like 374. I mean, he did a lot of really great things overall, but the most important thing is he kind of played within himself. He didn't turn the ball over. If they needed to punt, they could punt. Yes, did they get maybe a little greedy? Did DeBoer and Grubb and Penix maybe get a little greedy at the end? You can say that. But ultimately, they did what they needed to do to play field position, and then the defense, once again, stepping up, making big plays at the end to really kind of salt this thing away. So overall, so important to get that first road win, get to six wins, get bowl eligible, and then you can move from there. And like Scott said, you've got some winnable – you definitely got one winnable game at least with Colorado. 7-5 feels almost like a disappointment at this point if you kind of play it out. If they can get one other win and get to 8-4, that would be such a huge, huge first start for this staff.
We could talk a little bit. Coach DeBoer, I asked him about, you know, I didn't use the word greedy, but we could talk a little bit about that clock management at the end of the game, throwing the ball instead of running it. And we'll talk about that when we start talking about the second half. But did either of you get that thing? Like I said, funny things happen in Cal. Was how many times did you guys think, oh, here comes the funny stuff?
Oh, for me, it was definitely several times. I was, you know, especially when, you know, at the very end, they've got the ball and Penix finds the guy for Romo Dunsey, I think it was, for about 15 yards. They get a first down and basically the game's over. And, oh, there's a flag. And, oh, they call it a holding penalty on Fautanu. Okay. Then they show the replay. Dude, that is the worst holding call I have ever seen.
And well, I've seen because it was a defensive hold.
Yeah, if anything, it was. And
I was really pleading with the refs on that, by the way.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. I mean, even the announcers were just like, I have no idea what they saw there.
Rod Gilmore said it's a call that you don't often see. And I'm like, yeah, you don't often see it because it wasn't a defensive hold.
In that first half, Kalen DeBoer, you know, he likes to be aggressive, but, you know, they kind of struggled down in the red zone inside the 20 in the first half. Three field goal attempts. They were successful on two. Were you guys kind of surprised that they went for the field goals instead of being more aggressive on those?
No, I think they felt like any points that they get was going to put Cal in a position to play catch up, and Cal is not a catch up team. And now, granted, Washington didn't take advantage of the opportunities they had. Their defense was holding Cal down. I mean, I think Cal had 85 yards of total offense in the first half, and Washington should have been up minimum of 17-0 at that point. But really, it should have been 21 or even 24-0 at that point. And the game is completely different if that's the score at halftime. So. I mean, heck, I've probably already got my game wrap done and my game analysis, you know, done by the time we get to the fourth quarter because the game is pretty much out of reach. But that wasn't the case, and Washington really had a battle.
Chris, it almost seemed to you a little bit that Cal was playing the Jimmy Lake defense of bend but don't break, you know, just give him a lot of room playing almost cover four most of that first half, keeping everything in front of him and then tightening up once they got inside the red zone.
Yeah, in fact, they took the Jimmy Lake defense even a little further, and we're actually doing kind of cover two with both the safeties playing pretty far off, you know, because a lot of times with Jimmy, he would play that one safety over the top and then try to figure out where to run his nickel and try to play a chess game with the nickel. But these guys were playing, you know, straight up deep, like almost straight quarters, and it worked really, really well. But I, you know, credit to Michael Penix. I think at least initially, they did a good job of taking what was in front of them, taking the easy money, and doing those things. I mean, they had almost 250 yards of total offense in the first half, and the defense the defense really should be the stars of that first half. Again, like Scott said, they held them under 85 yards total offense. They held Jay Knott and that rush attack, which we thought was going to be one of the keys to the game, they held them to 5 yards on the ground in the first half. They were averaging half a yard a carry. That's incredible. I mean, that's really, really, really good stuff compared to what we have seen from Washington defensively so far this season. And so, yeah, ideally, like Scott said, you would like to have seen Washington turn those field goals into touchdowns. But yet, at the same time, I think whether it was a perception issue or whether it was just something where they went to the book or they did something, but, you know, they took those field goals and didn't try to really push it early. And ultimately, it worked out in their favor.
Scott, what happened on the pick play with Cameron Davis? I didn't see it. It was on the other side from me, and I was kind of looking through my camera. But was it obvious? And that was the pick play. That was the pick play. Play got called back, and they missed the field goal.
Yes, correct. And the thing is, they called it on 22, but I actually think it was Jalen Polk who was the one running the route. And he ran right at his guy, and his guy just kind of stood there. So he kind of shoved off of him. You could tell it was a pick play, but I didn't think that he did anything that egregious. And so I don't know. I mean, I know that there's got to be some line where you draw that the receiver can't do those kind of things. But my God, I've seen so many worse that are never called. And so to have that one called, I mean, Washington gets that touchdown there. I mean, the game is essentially out of reach at that point and for Cal, and they didn't get it. So they had to battle, and it was frustrating to watch it there. You know, the one call that was a subjective call that the referees made that I agreed with, the one call was the grounding. That was pretty obvious that was grounding. And then the hold on Dominique Hampton was also a hold. But man, some of the calls that I saw tonight, and some of the non-calls, it was pretty bad.
There was quite a few calls that were kind of like what, and then there was some non-calls that I could see down on the field where I just a couple of the pass protection where defensive backs were just being flat out pulled down to the ground. So, again, a lot of, it's Pac-12 referees, kind of weird. But, hey, Chris, the first half defense, I don't know if that was just Cal just being awful offensively or Washington playing that well defensively, but best first half defensively Washington's had in a long time.
Well, I would say, to be honest with you, they got two sacks in that second quarter. I think they were putting a lot of pressure on Jack Plummer to start, and ultimately that pressure really paid off at the end. In fact, I don't know about you guys, and Kim, you were a lot closer to the situation than we were, but by the end, those last two drives where he really looked like he was getting super banged up, I was kind of almost wondering if the Cal coaches were going to take him out of the game. Because he was getting hit on almost every play, and not just getting hit, but he was really getting dinged up. And I know they had the one targeting call on Trice where they were looking at it. And I mean, he just buried his helmet right in his chest. And you know what, whether it's targeting or not, I mean, they didn't call targeting in the end of it, but you know, leading with his helmet, all that kind of stuff, whatever goes into it, you know, I just know that it seemed like every down on those final two series for Cal where they had a chance to tie it up, the defensive linemen were getting their hands on him and or knocking him to the ground and or sacking him. And that's where just being relentless on those things ultimately paid off. And that, to me, that was the real story of the whole deal, because I don't want to get bogged down on the refereeing. We could spend a half hour on that.
Hey, Scott, how big of a difference was Meech Powell being back?
A guy who really struggles in coverage. He was awesome against the run and some of those short hitch passes that Cal was trying to throw to get the ball out in space. He read those perfectly. And so you can just see a total difference when he's in there as compared to Devon Banks or Julius Irvin, guys who just don't have a lot of experience at doing this stuff. And EJ Elijah Jackson and Javion Green, you know, those guys just don't play it the same way that Michelle Powell does. Kim, I think it's a great observation. He looked great.
Yeah, I mean, they had Meech Powell in there as starting the game with Jordan Perryman, Alex Cook, and Asa Turner. When was the last time they had those four guys?
Yeah, together? That's the original starting crew.
Yeah, I mean,
and Hampton was out there too.
Yeah, it's been a while, and they get Mish Powell back, and they lose Cameron Fabiculainen, who walked off late in the first half. It looks like I'm guessing it's an ankle injury he had, so we'll see if he's going to be able to be back. But getting Asa Turner back with Alex Cook, Jordan Perryman, and Mish Powell, that's going to be a big help. But you get one back, and hopefully they don't lose Cameron Fabiculainen for long. But again, that first half, I think that, you know, the Washington offense, is this the first game where they haven't gone down and scored a touchdown on their first drive?
Yes, this was the first time.
But it is still the eighth straight game this season. Every game they've gone down and scored on their first drive. This is just the first one where it wasn't a touchdown. So.
And this was the seventh out of eight that they scored a touchdown on their first drive of the second half as well.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Coming out in the second half, you thought that, you know, the defense could keep that up. But, you know, Cal came back out in the second half and just was a 75 yards on what, six?
I don't remember it, but yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is, you could and the announcers were making some comments on it, and they were saying, you know, it was 13 for 75, by the way, Kim. That first drive of the second half, second one was 6 for 65, and their other scoring drive, the one that he hit that Maven Anderson guy, was 12 plays for 80 yards. So big drive still, Washington giving them up. But that being said, you know, Washington, they said that Plummer was getting back, hitting his back foot and getting the ball out. And that's why that was causing Washington a lot of problems. And they never seemed to be able to make an adjustment to it. And then at the end of the game, because they needed to get chunk yardage, so they needed to have guys run deeper routes, Plummer had to take five-step drops, and that's when Washington was getting home.
Yeah, Braylon Trice with another good game again today, and their tackle seemed to be having all kinds of problems with Braylon Trice tonight.
Yeah, the right tackle had a ton of problems.
Yeah, whoever their right tackle was, it didn't matter if it was Trice or ZTF or whoever it was.
Or Martin.
They were getting home.
Yeah, no, it was just kind of crazy because I don't know, if you guys are saying he's throwing off the back foot. I don't know that Washington changed their defense at all, but the defense in the second half definitely got carved up at times.
No, what I was saying was he hit his back foot, and by that time he was getting the ball out of his hands and driving the ball down the field, and that's why they were just able to carve Washington up at will. And I think teams that can do that are going to do that to Washington's defense. I just they don't have the horses in the secondary and at linebacker to be able to do it. I mean, honestly, with the way Cam Bright was getting worked by Jaden Ott in the passing game, I totally thought they would have just picked on him as much as possible, but they didn't do that. So it was really weird. Jaden Ott didn't play that much. He wasn't in there a lot of times, and you would think a dynamic player like him would be in there a lot more than he was, but I think I got the stats in front of me.
I'm guessing he was banged up.
He had 14 carries for 38 yards, and then he had two catches for 16 yards, but he also had that one that Cam Bright interfered with him on down in the red zone, and then he also had that drop that he had earlier in the game. So you know, Ott is going to be a special player. Washington recruited him out of high school. He's going to be a really special player going forward, and it was a good thing Washington was able to bottle him up, because if they weren't able to bottle him up, they would have really struggled to win this game.
Yeah, Washington in the first half, Wayne Talapapa, what did he have, two or three drops in the first half?
And Jack Westover had one, and Taj Davis had one as well.
Yeah, didn't see much of Wayne Talapapa in the second half, by the way. So
you cannot do that.
Just taking a look at those running back stats real quick. Cameron Davis had 13 carries for 46 yards. Wayne Talapapa had 4 for 25. Richard Newton came in and had some physical runs and a nice touchdown catch. He had 5 for 18. Will Nixon had 2 for 15. And while I'm on it, let me just throw a couple of more stats at you. Michael Penix, another big game, 36 of 51 with no interceptions, and he had 374 yards and 2 touchdowns. Jalen McMillan was the favorite target tonight with 11 targets, 8 receptions for 81 yards. Romeo Dunze targeted 9 times with 6 receptions for 63 yards. And the interesting stat here, Wayne Talapapa, I know he was targeted 7 times with 4 completions, but he had 40 yards, but 34 of those were yards after contact. So those were good. And Richard Newton, we can talk about Richard's here in a few minutes, but Richard Newton with 1 catch for 36 yards, 20 yards after contact. So big day. But, you know, Michael Penix again in the second half was just still on fire and had another big game.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know a lot of people are going to look at the game and think that Cal really came back and stormed away in the second half, like the way they started that third quarter drive and they went right down the field and scored a touchdown. It was pretty much dead even statistically in the second half between Washington and Cal, including the score. Washington actually outscored Cal in the second half, 22-21, and they out totaled them in total yards, 231-223. So it really was a dead heat almost statistically in the second half. And that's why essentially it's that lead where you're just trying to rack up points any way you can that first half. And ultimately that spelled the difference in the game.
Yeah, and in the first half, they seemed to shoot themselves in the foot. You know, again, another game with no turnovers. They didn't get any defensive turnovers either, but they weren't shooting themselves in the foot down in the red zone like they were the first half. And they just seemed to execute a lot better on the second half, Scott.
Yeah, they did. They definitely executed a lot better. They Washington, I think, ended up 6 of 11 or something like that on third downs. The defense actually held Cal to 6 of 15, I think, on the night. So, you know, but Washington was able to execute. It looked like they were starting to run a few different routes that they weren't running in the first half. And the offensive line blocking was unbelievable. Now, there were times when Cal was just rushing 3 and dropping 8, but you could drop a full 11 back there. And if you're not getting pressure on the quarterback and he can just wait until somebody's going to break open, somebody's going to get open against 11. And so Cal needed to figure out a way to get more pressure on him. When they did, they were successful. But when they didn't, man, he was able to find guys. The Richard Newton touchdown, the game-winning touchdown, was a perfect example of that, because I went back and rewound it. Penix almost had 4 seconds to sit back there and make his decision on where he was going to go. And then Newton grabs it, goes right down the sidelines. So Yeah, I thought they executed much better in the second half. You'd like to see that in the first half, but you know what? Every game is going to be different, and you just got to roll with the punches.
Yeah, Michael talked about that touchdown pass. I asked him to break it down, and he just the first, second, third, fourth read, and he finally just saw Richard, and it wasn't a designed play, but you know he just found Richard open. But it's got the thing that I was kind of curious because, like I said, at my angle, it's hard for me to see, but Cal's dropping 7, and they're dropping 8, and Washington's still not able to really run the ball that you think that they would be able to with that many defensive backs back there.
Yeah, I mean, they ran the ball when they needed to. They pick and chose their spots to run the ball. They threw the ball 51 times. They ran it 32. You take away Penix's what did he have? 1 sack or 2 sacks, whatever it was. Yeah, he had 2. He was sacked twice and everything like that. They finished with 102 yards on 32 carries. And add in that, you know, don't take away that 15. They're 117 on, 28. You know, that's not a great night, but it's not terrible. You know, you're getting some play, you know, some movement and things like that. But yeah, I mean, overall, it was not the greatest night on the ground when they were dropping all those guys. But, you know, I saw Cam Davis kind of get some yards after contact a couple times. Richard Newton definitely did that too. So those were good to see. Will Nixon had an explosive run. So they just don't have a lot of difference makers, and that's their biggest issue is at the running back spot.
I think it's a little misleading, only in the sense that with this particular offense, it sure feels to me like you might as well just call those plays out to the flat or just the little dump downs. Those are extended handoffs in this offense. I mean, you're trying to get the ball to your playmakers. And so that's why you have, guys like, Cam Davis and Richard Newton and Sam Adams and Talapapa. You know, I think they combined, I'm just looking at it right now, they get 4, 6, 7, 8. They got 8 catches out of 36. Now, I don't know what the percentage is that Ryan Grubb would want out of that, but that's to me, that's just telling me that they're just trying to find different ways to get these guys the ball that aren't just considered straight handoffs and just little inside zone, outside zone type stuff. So I guess you can look at it and say they weren't very effective running the ball, but I kind of look at those and kind of look at them as extended handoffs anyways.
Yeah, a couple other numbers just to really jump out at you. I know that a lot of people are always interested in the number of plays ran. Washington ran 83 plays. Cal ran 65. So Washington with 476 total offensive yard. Cal with 306. A couple of other numbers that really jump out. That first quarter time of possession, 11 minutes and 37 seconds of the clock in the first quarter to 3:23 for Cal. Third down conversion, Washington, a very efficient 10 of 13. And Cal, you know, and this is just a number. Washington on third down, they still gave up 6 of 15, which is almost 50%. And that's going to come back to bite them at some point if they don't clean up third down. And sacks, Washington had 5 sacks and Cal only had 2. But getting back into the fourth quarter, Washington up by 14, you think the game is in hand, then funny stuff. Cal marches it down the field and scores.
Yeah, they actually made a really nice play on a fourth down. Not exactly sure why Dominique Hampton kind of tried to cheat underneath the receiver. Just kind of looking at it, and it was in triple coverage. I think I saw Mikella Steen and Michelle Powell also right there. And instead of trying to attack the ball and go after it, they just kind of stood there. I think it's because Hampton put him off a little bit with what he was trying to do and trying to leap for the ball and get in front of it. But he wasn't, at least from my angle, watching the TV copy, he didn't look very close. But, you know, again, I mean, they had some leeway there because Washington was so effective coming out of the gate in the third quarter. I mean, first drive out of the third quarter, touchdown. Second drive, touchdown. Going into the fourth quarter, touchdown. I mean, these were the drives that made the difference in the game.
Washington gets the ball back after that Cal score, about 4 minutes to go, and You think they're going to milk the clock and just run the ball. Cal still had a couple of timeouts, but they didn't exactly come out and try to play conservative. And this is the one thing that's going to people are going to love and hate about Kalen DeBoer. They're going to love his aggressiveness, but that aggressiveness, when it doesn't work, it's going to bite him in the butt, and fans are going to remember that. And it came close a couple of the times. The one pass that got knocked down, Kalen DeBoer specifically talked about that pass. He said that that was actually the third. It was a run pass option, and that was actually Michael's third option on that. And he said that they've got about a 95% completion percentage on that pass. And that one didn't go. But
are you talking about the one that went through Culp's hands and almost was intercepted?
No. This is when they were starting to use their timeouts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that basically.
Where he threw it underneath to Westover. Where they threw it underneath to Westover.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
He said that's a very safe pass. That was Michael's third option, and they're about 95% completion on that. So just one of those things. But, you know, Kalen DeBoer is going to. He's going to stay aggressive, is what he says.
Well, I get that, but we've already seen the aggressiveness in a number of games with the fourth down stuff that hasn't been converted. So I don't think that should end up being new news to Washington fans. Yes, they're going to stay aggressive. Yes, Grubb is going to stay aggressive. Yes, Penix is going to try to stay aggressive when he can. But if that really is the case, it's a subtle way of not – really throwing Penix under the bus per se, but it really is saying that that was a situation where Penix probably should have taken the simple play and just handed it off and forced Cal to use their last time out, because that would have essentially would have cost them the game if, you know, the on the next drive Washington doesn't get called for the phantom hold. Game would have been over.
But if they complete that pass, the game's over too.
They completed it, but it got called back for a hold.
Yeah, no, so. I was talking about the other one. So, I think the key to the game was when Washington on that series where they were unable to get the first down, and Cal gets the ball back for 2 minutes, and they were unable to do anything with it.
Yeah, Washington was able to get that pressure on Plummer, and he was already dealing with a knee issue, and he got up limping a couple times. I'm reminded of that. If anybody has seen Friday Night Lights, when Mike Winchell is just getting abused by the defensive line of the other team, and that's what I kind of felt Jack Plummer was like tonight, because Washington was getting after him. He was sacked 5 times, but he was knocked down at least a half dozen more times. It was bad.
Yeah, and that play by Zion Tupou-Fatui, that sack, that was right after Trice had sacked him, and then Chris Mole actually had made a nice tackle when they had tried to catch Washington napping a little bit with a run play on 2nd and 12. They only gained 2 yards, so it was 3rd and 10, and then Zion, you know, forces a 4th and 20, so they had to quickly get in punt formation and punt that ball away, even though I think ideally, if you're Justin Wilcox, you're thinking, let's just put ourselves into even maybe a 4th and medium, and we might go for it. You know, you just never know. But 4th and 20, it's absolutely, there's no way you can do it. And that was Zion just stepping up and making a monster play.
They were able to hang on. They won, you know, and it's always a big win down here in Cal. Again, just a sparse crowd, windy down on the field. It was kind of cold. So, why don't we go ahead and wrap it up? It's already getting late. Again, we all love these 7:30 starts, by the way. So any last minute thoughts, Chris Fetters?
Yeah, I would just say that ultimately when it came down to it, I mean, there were some really interesting stats in terms of the drives, because I'm not sure Washington fans are aware, but I mean, the first four drives of Cal's offense, punt, 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 punt. They had 4 punts in the first half. That was their entire offense. I think that's why probably fans were a little freaked out that Washington could only generate 6 points off of all of the time of possession and all the possession overall that they were able to get. But when it came down to it, and I don't know, Scott, I have to look at it as well, they generated 3 3-and-outs in this game. Is that the most that they've done defensively this year? It might be close.
If it isn't, it's very close. Yeah. The only one that I could think of might have been Portland State. but maybe not.
But ultimately, you're talking about a team that ran 83 total plays on offense in Washington compared to 65 for Cal. And I think it really showed, because by the end of the game, you know, it's too bad that maybe they didn't try to take some easier money and just try to maybe jam it down their throat a little bit more. Maybe that's something they'll try to do the next time they find themselves in this situation. But the bottom line is they found a way to win on the road when it's been incredibly difficult to win on the road in the Pac-12 this year. If you're not, you know, UCLA or USC or Oregon, it's been tough, or Utah. I think only one other team has found a road win so far outside of those four, and that was Oregon State. So it's been tough. It's been really tough to figure it out and get over that hump. So for them to be able to do that tonight and do it in a place like Cal, where just funky things happen anyways, because people remember 2018, the last time they played at Cal, they lost 12-10 in a game they should have never lost. And then you add the Pac-12 After Dark too, with all the referee stuff, and don't even want to get started on that, all that. But getting to 6-2, so huge for DeBoer and this staff. Now they can really start preparing, not just for the weeks ahead, but they can get healthy this week. They can really start focusing on Oregon State, but also with the idea of the longer objective in mind, they get 15 extra practices now, guys. They get to really figure out how to build this team for next year, starting with those practices. And that's so huge.
Wrap it up, Scott Eklund.
Just echo everything Chris said. Huge win for the Huskies. They get bowl eligible. They go into the bye week, can get healthier and maybe work on some things that they need to clean up and everything like that. I think Washington gutted out a win. This was not an easy place to go and play for them. They don't play well for whatever reason. Cal is not a great football team, but it still hasn't mattered in the past, and I don't think it'll matter in the future either. So good win for Washington. Now they get to come home. They get to take a week off, rest up a little bit, rejuvenate, and then that final month-long stretch at the, you know, with Oregon State, Colorado, and Washington State all right in a row there.
Yeah, just another nice win on the road. Another one. It's the first one that they've had this year or so. But you take those road wins any way you can get them. It wasn't the prettiest game, but there was a lot of good things to take. And just this bye week couldn't have come soon enough. You know, I think they would have much rather have had one here a couple of games ago, but is what it is. And they're going to get a chance to be healthy. And, you know, Coach Inge went by and let guys know, hey, it's bye week, but we still got work to do. So he kind of let guys know that, hey, you know, this isn't a vacation week coming up and they will be hard at work. So I'm actually down in Berkeley. I'm going to be here through Wednesday night. We've got Pac-12 Media Day for basketball on Wednesday morning. So I will be down here for that. It will be Keon Brooks and Jamal Bay down with Coach Hopkins. So we'll have a lot of updates from Pac-12 Media Day for basketball down here. Hopefully catch up with Andy at some point in the next couple of days. Andy for Meanderings is a resident down here, and hopefully be able to catch up with him. So go ahead and wrap it up. And Scott, the walk that I have back to my car from Cal is further than it is to S1. Just an FYI.
Well, that's good. That's payback. Payback's a bitch.
Well, hold on a second. we're almost missing the absolute best part of this podcast. We haven't made one mention of your television cameo tonight. You want to talk about it?
Feel free. I was just hoping that wasn't showing up. I didn't get any text, so I didn't think anybody saw it.
So let's set the scene. So on the play where Jalen McMillan was dragged down, on the play that was eventually called for, the ball was uncatchable, like over his head, but he was basically tackled.
Well, I could have caught it.
That ball hit, skidded on the turf, and absolutely beamed Kim right in the face. And with enough force to knock you down. And not only did it happen in real time, but we got a chance to see the instant replay as well. And it was maybe worse on the instant replay.
Yeah, first time I've been nailed on the sidelines, and it was by the damn football. Everybody's asking me if I was okay, and I just said, I'm just hoping it doesn't show up on TV. So well, I got nailed pretty good. It was pretty funny. It didn't hurt. But.
So for any Dogman people out there that are listening to this, go back and watch your copy of this game and go back to that McMillan play in the end zone and watch where the ball goes. And it The guy in the blue coat. Yeah, that's Kim.
Yeah, I just took a little bit of the turf grind, rubbed it in. I was good. I was good to go. So, anyways, let's wrap it up. I got a long drive home. You guys got a lot of work to do. So a lot of content next week. So it's just because it's a bye week doesn't mean we're not working. We don't get the week off either. So for all of us at Dogman.com, I'm Kim Grinnells along with Chris Fetters and Scott Eklund. Go Dogs.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.